All right, family, come on in and sit down. John, Victoria, let's roll. Thanks, guys. All right.
Now it's my turn. Now we're ready. Okay, the kids and I put together a little skit to honor mamas. This is for all the things you do, all the places you have to go, and for sometimes just never getting to sit down.
Oh, I'm so tired. I did not get a lot of sleep last night. Oh, I need to sit down, drink my coffee. Boys, knock it off. You're going to wake up your siblings. Look at them sleeping so nicely. Go sit down for breakfast. Oh my gosh, awake already? Come on, come sit down for breakfast. Come down. Come on. Sit down. Oh, finally. Oh my gosh, you lost your homework again? This is like the 10th time this week. Let's go find it. You walked right by it. It's right here. Oh my gosh, you guys are going to be late for the bus. Run. Oh, I forgot about you. Come on, I'm coming. You want to go read your book? Come here. Here you go. Come read your book. Oh, maybe I'll finally get to sit down. I'm coming. Nap time. Come on. It's time for a nap. Come on. Come on. Come lay down. Come on. Oh, here's a kiss. Here's some water. All right. Oh, finally, I get to sit down. Oh, wait. I should really work out. I haven't worked out all week. Oh, man. Oh, but I need to eat. I haven't eaten all day. That'd probably be a good idea. Wait, no. I'll get the laundry done while the kids are asleep. That's what I'll do. Oh, I think I should really take a shower. It's been a few days. Oh my gosh, nap time's already over. Oh, come on, come play with the toys. Come on. Look, there's your favorite car. Here you go. What? I'm watching. Ugh. Leave him alone, leave him alone. Come on, come sit down.
That was way too real. there wasn't enough fighting, I guess. We can let the kiddos go now. You know, I was thinking about this just while that was going on. And there's a lot of parenting books out there. But I think I'm of the opinion that people who write parenting books gave birth to really uniquely well-behaved children, right? Yeah, or haven't had any yet, yeah. Ones that, you know, come out reading the scriptures and you tell them, don't do that, and they say, that is what I shall do, you know, that kind of thing. And then they're like, we should write a book about this. We're amazing. 'Cause, like, there's so many different varieties of books. You know, you need to treat your children with grace. And some kids, if you treat them with too much grace, they'll burn down the Western Hemisphere, you know. And other kids, you know, you've got the ones, you know, you got to take a strong hand with them. And some kids, if you take too strong of a hand, you'll snatch their soul. You know, it's like you really, anyway, just a thought. But what? You need the Lord. Yes, there you go. There's the book. It's already been written. It's right here. Yeah. We need to pray, though, because we're in church and that's what we're supposed to do. Happy Mother's Day. Mom, happy Mother's Day. My mom's probably watching, so we should all tell her happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Yes. All right, now we really should pray. So, Lord, thank you for today. Lord, thank you for this day that you made that in all of time and all of history has never happened before. That today we have a clean slate that anything can happen, even things that are above and beyond what we can think or imagine can and will happen today. And so we engage our hearts with you. We engage our ears to hear what you have to say. And we engage our whole being into the plan that you have for us today. Let us walk in step with what your word is today. Let us walk in step with what your heart is for us today. We love you and give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to be home. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad that you're here. And happy Mother's Day. I always think I know what I'm going to share, and I've probably said this a dozen times, but I've learned that we make a mistake. We do an injustice to what is happening in the atmosphere of worship when we dumb it down to the idea that worship somehow sets up the word. I think that's a poor way to look at what's happening. I think what is happening in worship is the message that God is bringing right then, right now. And as we engage in worship, we are not engaging in something that started at 10 a.m., but we're engaging in something that has been going on since eternity past, right? We're actually entering into something that has always been happening, the worship and the praise to our God. And if we could actually begin to see things from that perspective and not feel like, well, I'm going to now walk into the room and try to engage in worship, but really I'm being given an opportunity to corporately come into this place of entering into that which has already been happening, and I think that's a beautiful thing. And so I say that because I feel myself kind of shifting where I thought I was going to go. I think I might still go into some of what I'm thinking, but I want to start with this, though. Genesis chapter 1. No, Genesis chapter 2. I don't know what verse this is. I just know it's in Genesis chapter 2. And sorry, I'm trying to figure out if it's in Genesis 3 now. You have to give me a second. My brain is working faster than my mind. Does that make sense? Okay, well, it makes sense to me. You just have to catch up to where I'm at. Yep, it's Genesis 2. I was right the first time. So, hey, I will go there. Keep in mind Genesis chapter 2, but I want to quote something out of Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20 says that Adam called her Eve because she was, listen to the way this verse is written, she was the mother of all living, of all living, that's what it, okay. She was the, she had not given birth to anyone yet. She didn't have any children yet. Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother, not was going to be, not one day will be, not she will be known as, not, but she was the mother of all living. She hadn't had any children. I want to explain why I brought this up. There are people that really struggle when they're not able to have children. Or maybe they had children and their children have disowned them. Or they feel like they really messed up in being a mother. Or that there's just something that happened that broke relationship and therefore you struggle to feel like, yes, you gave... Let me put it this way. There is a difference between giving birth and being a mother. Do you know that you can never give birth and still be a mother to someone? I have several moms myself. And you probably should too. If you don't, you should go find one. You're like, hey, would you be my mom? And if they say no, come find me. I'll have a talk with them. And they'll be your mom. I'm being a little silly, but at the same time, I'm like, we need to, we have allowed things that we read and pressures that are put on people to dictate to us what a mother actually is. I'll tell it to you this way. In the Hebrew custom or the Hebrew culture, if a woman did not give birth to a child within the first 10 years of marriage, it was grounds for divorce. Not according to God, but according to man's rules, because man added to the word, added to the laws, added to, and so they decided that a woman was, here was their word, afflicted if she could not give birth. I'll give you an example. 1 Samuel chapter 1, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah was having kids like crazy. Like she looked like this up here. She had kids, said she had sons and daughters, lots of them. And Hannah couldn't have any. And Hannah went to prayer, and she asked God to hear her affliction. What was her affliction? I can't have children.
and I haven't been able to have children. Therefore, my husband married someone else who was having children like crazy. God brought about a son named Samuel to Hannah. You guys know the story, right? She was married to a man named Elkanah. They have a child. This is 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 20-ish. Right in there. You'll read the whole story. Can I ask you this? Can you name one of Peninnah's children? But we know Samuel. And we know the accomplishments of Samuel. Right? Just let that sit for a second. I'm telling you that we falter in our ideas of what we believe mothers to be based upon what our culture is dictating to us. Right now, culture is saying a woman can be anything and anybody, and a man can have a baby, and all this other trash that's being spoken. And if we allow ourselves to dumb down what a mother is again in another negative way, then people who are struggling with motherhood in general, it's going to get lost in all the fluff and all the noise and all the junk, and it's going to be an affliction just like it was in Hebrew culture. I know I said Genesis 2. I have to go to Genesis 1 to start Genesis 2. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. This is interesting to me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form, so it was formless and void, and darkness was upon the deep. Whoop, back up. We're going to miss the part I want to read. Okay, right there. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Watch this. That word hovering is the word rahash. Rahash. R-A-C-H-A-P-H. I may have butchered the way it's said, but I spelled it correctly. The counterpart in the Greek to that word is the word episkiazo. Episkiazo we see in Luke chapter 1, where Mary is approached by Holy Spirit and says, you're going to be with child. How can this be? For I've never been with a man. The Holy Spirit will come and episkiazo you, will overshadow you, and you will be with child. It's the same word. It is the Greek counterpart to this Hebrew word of hovering. The Spirit of God, it is also given as like a hen brooding over its young, or an eagle brooding over its little eaglets, which is found in Isaiah. The same word that is used right here, rachaf, is found in Isaiah, and it is like not a rooster with spurs getting ready to gouge the eyes out of somebody, but a hen brooding. Do you hear me? The word Ruach HaKodesh, which is Holy Spirit, is a feminine form. I know we don't want to hear this. It is the feminine form of who God is. Not Mother God. I'm not trying to go there. Both men and women were created in the image and the likeness of God. Is that right or not right? Or was it just Adam? Okay, initially it was just Adam, but because Adam and Eve were the same. And out of Adam was separated Eve. So you've got this separation, but they're both in the likeness of God. This is important. Why? Okay. And how does this pertain to mothers? I'm really glad you're asking all these good questions. Sometimes I watch Sage, and I know all you mothers are like this. You are supreme multitaskers. You have the ability to, especially as your kids get older, we have adult children, and Sage is able to keep track of what each one of them is doing and where they're at, and you know, even beyond Life 360, she's able to like keep track of them, and me, right? They're like this, and I'm like this, and she keeps track of all of this, and she is a gatherer, a nurturer, right? She the attributes of God that come out of her as a mother, I can see when I begin to read the word from that perspective, that God is also a nurturer, a gatherer. He broods over and watches over us. He takes care of us. Jesus displayed this not only in his need for relationship with Holy Spirit, but also in himself, which would be found in, I might make this mistake of wrong scripture here, but I think it's Matthew 12. It's either 11 or 12, I think, where Jesus says this, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden." Right? "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." Right? "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This was Jesus displaying an attribute of God, desiring to bring us in under his wings and find a place of rest and comfort without us trying to control and figure out how to make things happen and how to be a better this or a better that, or how to become better at these things, or how to know how to do this better. And this is the struggle of our life continually. Why? Because we fill ourselves constantly with social media and fear-mongering news and all this stuff. And so we begin to strive to do something that can only happen when we find ourselves resting within the shadow of the wings of the Almighty, who longs to gather his children together, not to put them in a protective bubble and say, "Stay away from the world." That's not Christianity. It is a place of comfort that we come into that allows us to release control to the one who is wanting to brood or hover over us and not protect us, like I said, like a bubble, but allow us to find a place of rest so that we don't have to try to be super mom if we can't be super mom. What is the name? Churchill. No, it's a woman. Gail, her last name's Churchill. I don't know. You can look this quote up and you'll know who I'm talking about. You may not know who she is, but you'll be able to find it. This quote is this. "There is no way to be a perfect mom, but a million ways to be a good one." There is this pressure. Because this is Mother's Day, I'm going to keep speaking to moms for a little bit. But there is this pressure on you to be something that you feel like you can never really attain or get to. And I have to tell you, you weren't meant to. You weren't meant to be what the world says this is the measure of the perfect mom. This is the measure of what it looks like to have, right? This is why I personally do not like things like Facebook, Instagram, all these things, because people are only putting out the best of who they are, right? Like, they're like, "Look at my beautiful children," right? And 2 minutes ago, they were beating each other up and scratching, fighting, and kicking, and now they're like all angelic. And then people go, "Wow, that lady, man, she's the perfect mom. I wish I could be a mom like her. I wish I could... Man, I wish my kids would act like that. Man, I wish my marriage looked like that. Look how beautiful that is. Look how she keeps her home. You can't see the rest of the home. It's just the kitchen." Right? "Look at my beautiful kitchen.
took me 4 hours to get it this clean. So I quickly took pictures so that you would think I'm amazing, right? We're trying to impress people we don't really like, right? Because we don't know most of the people that are looking at the things that we're sticking out there. We really could care less. We just want to be, like, prove that somehow we've got it going on. And there's this tireless cycle that many of us are on, trying to get somewhere we will never get, when God called us to be right where He wants us to be, and we're trying to rise above that, and we're wearing ourselves out when we're supposed to be running into Him, finding our rest in Him, allowing in that place of rest the things that He put in us from the beginning through the overshadowing of Holy Spirit. Wow, let's go here. At the moment of natural conception of you, your DNA was brought forth. Inside of that DNA was everything about you. Your eye color, your hair color, your height, everything you would ever be physically is inside of that DNA that happened at the moment of conception. Spiritually, the moment of overshadowing by the Holy Spirit, when your spirit is birthed, the DNA of all that God created for you to be is already in place. And we strive to try to do something that's already there. And so we run past that which God is going, whoa, why, who, right, hang on. Like, He wants to run, don't get me wrong, but not like outrun what He's trying to accomplish in us to bring about the maturity so we can carry all that He's already designed for us to carry. So let me put this in physical terms. Are there any 12-year-olds in here? We got several. I'll just pick on Santiago over here. Scarlett. At 12 years old, most females could have a baby physically. Maybe you couldn't at 12, but roughly around that age, you were physically able to have a child. Not a smart idea, though. Right? Everything's in place, you're physically able to. But your body wasn't designed at that age to go through that at that point. It needed some maturing and growing to be able to do what it was designed to do. Some of us try to give birth to things too early, and we're actually ruining something about ourselves because we're trying to strive to do something that maybe we're intended to do, but not yet. So as a mother, if we are striving, trying to accomplish something that maybe we're even meant to accomplish, but we're trying to do it outside of the timing of brooding within the One who designed and desired to gather us, bring us to a place of rest so that we can be equipped, empowered, and matured to the place where we can carry what we've been designed to carry, we outrun that purpose and it begins to squash us. This is why some of you feel squashed, and because you're striving after something that either you weren't intended to carry or you're not ready to carry yet. Give you an example in the Bible. Esther. Anybody know how long Esther prepared to go before the king? A year. Like, she didn't sit in the bath for a year. But
she prepared herself for a year to do something she was called to do all along. There was something inside of Esther that knew, I can't just go, my husband, I'm going to go in and tell him what to do. I'm going to just go before the king. I'm going to, you know, let him know what's up. No, she matured and prepared and got ready to stand in a place that she was mostly sure she was called to stand, right? Like, if I die, I die, right? Which tells me, like, she didn't go in going, I ain't going to die. She went in going, I'm prepared to do whatever I need to do. Because I have sat in this place of rest and preparedness for a year, and I'm ready to move into the destiny that God's called me to. Do we see the difference here? Okay. I don't remember why I wanted to go to Genesis 2. I bet it was good, though. Maybe if I put my glasses on, I'll figure it out. Oh, got it. I don't know where it's at. I just remembered what I wanted to do there. So, 2 weeks ago, the Lord spoke something to me that I ended up sharing at a church in California. And it came back to me this morning, and so I want to pull at this just a little bit. But in Genesis chapter 2, we see the formation of man, right? God spoke forth all of creation, the animals, the trees, except the garden. If you read, this is interesting, he actually planted a garden in the east, which is wild to me. But God could have, at any point, spoken you and I into an existence. Do you understand that? Like, there was nothing stopping him. It wasn't like, golly, man, how am I going to do that? I don't know, this is hard. We need to take some dirt. You know, like it says that he created man from the dust of the ground, or as I like to say, mud or dirt. He just took some dirt, made a dirt body, and then he breathed into it the breath of life. Right? The ruach of God was breathed into man. And so I shared a little bit of this a few weeks ago, and then the Lord brought a whole different idea. But why dirt? Like, why not diamonds? Right? Like, why can't it be made out of steel? Or, well, that'd probably rust. Titanium. I don't know. Something. Why dirt? Thank you. What else? What else does seed grow in? What else in the whole world can seed be planted in, except for maybe a dandelion seed? It'll grow anywhere. But we don't want any dandelions. Do you hear me, though? We are dirt bodies that are given seed that are meant to produce something. And how else could we do it unless we were dirt? I know. This should, like, for real. The kingdom of God is like seed. Right? The word of God is like seed scattered on the... I mean, the Bible is full of seed and seed and seed and seed and... seed. And in this, I began to think about, like, I don't know where Eileen is, but Eileen tends a garden out in the property, and I was thinking, like, could you imagine she's planted all these seeds, and not every day, but maybe every couple days, maybe just once a week, she goes out and digs up the seed to see if it started growing yet, and now it hadn't grown, stuck it back in the ground, stomped it down, you know, put some water on it, left, came back a little bit later, dug it up. Oh, look, there's a root. Yep, there's a little root. Threw it back in. You know, how well is that seed going to do? Why do we think that when God wants to produce something in us, it's our job to keep digging it up and say, why isn't it doing anything? This is frustrating. I'm really irritated that this is not going as quickly as I wanted it to go. This isn't going the direction I wanted it to go. This is lame. This is stupid. I don't like this. I don't want... What do we think we're going to produce when we are feeding the seed, the soil of our lives are being filled with all this complaining, grumbling, crying, whining, right? Striving. We're doing. We're working. This we do this not only in our spiritual life, but we do this in our physical life where God planted in us, in our dirt being, he planted the seed of, let's just go back to motherhood, planted the seed of being a mother, whether that's in the physical or not. I wanted to be really careful because I need you to understand I'm not just talking about having natural children. He planted in you the ability to mother those around you, to mother those who are in need, right? Watch this. Peter comes to Jesus and says, hey, we gave up our houses, our jobs. We gave up everything to come and follow you. You guys remember this? Jesus said, no one will give up homes and families, mothers, brothers, fathers, for my sake and the kingdom's sake, and not receive back in this lifetime 100-fold. Hello, we need some mothers because we're all promised a whole bunch of mamas and a whole bunch of papas. You understand? But if we're constantly striving to try to make sure somehow the seed of what God planted is, why isn't it producing? Why doesn't anybody look at me like a mom? Why doesn't anybody come to me and ask me? Why don't people show up at my house? Why don't people invite me to this? Why don't people do that? I can sing. How come nobody ever asked me? That is digging up to see if what God planted in me is yet producing. And we pull the root right up with it, and then we stick it back in there and go, well, I'll just go to another church and see if they'll let me sing. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When again, if we're throwing pollution on the soil of that where the seed has been, and that seed begins to produce through that pollution, and then that pollution begins to come out of our mouth, I don't want you singing. That sounded kind of harsh, but I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying we need to have everything figured out and everything together, but we are constantly striving and trying to make so much happen and so much take place that's what we're spitting out on to everybody else around us is all this striving and all this trying and all this I don't like this and complaining and all the Welcome to the world of my brain. Okay. I'm really not trying to be discouraging in any way. I'm trying to challenge you. I have to give
an example of my own challenge. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke. I talked about Adam and Eve a little bit, and I brought up about the tree, and I talked about God said not to eat of the fruit, right? You guys remember this? Were you here? If you weren't here, maybe you don't remember, but I spoke about God saying this. Eve misquotes God and says, when the enemy comes and tells her, did God really say this? And she's like, nah. He said we could eat of everything except for that one tree. And then she says this. We can't even touch it or we shall surely die. I said, God said that. God never said that. Eve said that. She misquoted the word of the Lord, which caused this whole swirl, in my opinion, caused this whole swirl of confusion and feeling like, what did God actually say? I'm not sure. You know, I think he said this. She added to what God said, perverted what God said, and it caused her to step into something she never should have been involved in. But I shared that for two reasons. Number one, I apologize for speaking it the wrong way, because God did not say that. It was Eve that said that. And I'm thankful for the person who came and pointed that out to me. And it was totally in love. It was not a correction or like, hey, you said this. That's ridiculous. It was more like, hey, would you look at this? But it really caused me to go, how many times do we take the seed of the word that's been planted in us and then later allow it to be twisted into something it wasn't meant to be? Again, we could look at this in motherhood as well. We allow that thing to be twisted, direct us in a direction, thinking, oh my gosh, I think this is what God wants or doesn't want. We end up stepping into things we shouldn't be stepping into because we don't know the word well enough, because we haven't allowed it to take root, because we keep digging it up, looking and seeing what it's producing. Does that make sense? There was a woman in your Bible in Exodus chapter 2. This was Moses' mama. Her name was Jochebed. She, knowing that Pharaoh had made a decree to kill all the babies, right? And she, knowing this was happening, took and made a basket out of papyrus and placed Moses in this basket and sent him up the Nile. Now, I don't know about you, but as a parent, that would not be a decision I would want to have to make. Like, I know her thought process was probably, if I don't do this, he's dead. If I do this, maybe there's a chance. You know, I don't know. But as a mother, she made a decision that couldn't have been an easy decision. But I believe, this is my belief, I believe that knowing who the father is, as a mother, being secure in her relationship with the father, had to release something in order to see it come back and grow. That is probably one of the hardest things that we have to learn, is to release things that we know God's calling us to, that we know God even gave us. We have to release it, right? Even our own children. Some of y'all got some 30-year-old children that you need to wean. Just saying. And I'm not saying you need to get rid of them. I'm just saying, like, stop. Anyway, I'll stop there. Let them go on the basket in the Nile with the crocodiles. That was a better way to put it. Give them to God's plan, His destiny, His call in their life on the river with the crocodile. So. Oh, yeah. Anyway. Yikes. I got to move away from this. No, I'm not. And yeah, there's a reason for that. I wrote down, how about Sarah? Sarah was how old when she had Isaac? Where's Zeke? How old was Sarah when she had Isaac? Yes, good job. 9 years old, right? 9 years old. Seemed, it was impossible, but yet leaning in to who God is. And I recognize there was some struggle there. There was some Ishmael born there, you know, things like this. But ultimately, Sarah leaned into the plan of God. And there was a child of promise born out of the seed that was planted in Sarah, right? And out of that, standing, resting in who God is, believing the word that came to her, allowing to take the risk of stepping into it, brought forth the promise that God had given them years before. I brought up all these different ones, and I have others up there, but I really wanted to bring this together in this way. Sometimes we struggle with age, whether it's being too old or too young or whatever, to see the fulfillment of what God promised in our lives. That we feel like we've either waited too long, it's for someone else to do, I don't have the energy to do that, I'm not ready to do that, I'm only, you know, 17, or I'm only 21, or I'm whatever it might be that we struggle with. God is not looking for us to figure it all out. This is what I'm trying to crush on a bit here. We're in this society we live in is really kind of pushed us that direction of figure it out, right? Even when you go to graduate high school, what are you going to do? What are you going to do now? Right? Miley, what are you going to do now? Thank you. That's good. What's next? What are you going to do? And so we're supposed to figure all this out. When I was your age, I didn't even know what I was going to eat next, much less. And we pressure people into knowing, and then people get pressured into making decisions prematurely. And really what we should be encouraging people to do is lean into the brooding of the Holy Spirit, who is wanting to bring about life through, right, His hovering, His overshadowing, His episkiazo, His rachaf over us, is meant to bring about life in us, and it comes in seed form. You and I as the soil, whether you're a mother, a father, a brother, sister, whatever you might think of yourself as, your dirt, soil. That's probably a better way to put it. You're not dirt. You're soil. Ready to receive the seed of the word that comes to us as we allow ourselves to be found in the place of rest, under the shadow of his wings, allowing him to breathe life into us and put the seed of what he designed and desired for us to be, whether we're 120 years old or whether we're 10 years old, whatever, or 5 years old, or whatever that might look like, allowing the seed to take place, and then allowing the process, right? Here's the word that's hard. Seed, time, and harvest. We don't like the time thing. We want seed, harvest. Seed, harvest. Seed, harvest. But there's always a level of time in there somewhere that's meant to germinate the seed, meant to allow the root to go deep, allow the sprout to come and then produce the fruit that it needs to produce. Somewhere along those lines, we pull it out or let it wither or whatever. But so my encouragement to you is this. Let's stand up because I want to do this. We're going to actually pray over each other here in just a minute. So do not leave. Each one of you has the seed of exceedingly abundantly above all you can think or ask, a good measure pressed down. All the things that God put inside of you are there waiting to produce the fruit that he designed it to produce. No matter how old or young you are, God put seed in you. And so as we get ready to close the service, what I want to do is this. I want you... you need to ask the Lord this question, because I don't want this to just be a bunch of men walking around finding women. But I want to pray over the mothers, the women in this place. And I want to bless you. But I want you each... This is what we're going to do. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out a way that it's not awkward. I need you all to kind of smoosh in together, because you're going to put your hands on people next to you. So act like you're a family. Smoosh. Now, whoever's next to you, and it might be a man at this point, I don't know, but if you have... if you don't have a woman next to you, then find one. Move a little bit. But I want you to bless the person next to you. I want you to bless them. And if you want to group a little bit, that's fine. But I want you to bless the seed that God has planted in them. I want you to call out of them the mothering thing that God has planted inside of them, and bless them as mothers. But and listen, again, this isn't about children or not children. This isn't about grandchildren or not grandchildren. This is not about... don't speak a baby into somebody. Don't do that right now. Don't do that another service. Just pray and bless the people next to you, and then we'll just close out with that. So I bless you in the name of Jesus, to bless those near you. I bless you with just abundance and health. I bless you with good soil. I bless you with the fertilization that is necessary, the fertilizer necessary, the water necessary to produce all that God has designed for you to produce. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Now just keep praying over each other. Bless each other. Love each other. And then we will... rest of our day. Happy Mother's Day. Love you guys.